you're all very welcome here. We're about to begin. Do we have any apologies? Well, we received apologies from Councillors Enright, Hart, Loughran, McMurray, Mernon, Traynor, and Kimmins. Any other apologies? Councillor Casey? Anybody else? No. Okay, do we have declaration of interest? No, none. So we have presentation from Northern Ireland Electricity this evening. So you're all very welcome here. Thank you very much for coming. We have Adele Creary, Head of Communications and Customer Engagement, Francis McKillian, Connection Demand Delivery Manager, and David Keith, Customer Service Manager. So we'll have presentation and we'll have some questions after.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'm Adele Creary, Head of Customer Engagement in NI Networks, and it's David with me tonight. So, thanks for the opportunity. What we wanted to do is really just give you a bit of an overview in terms of who we are and what we do. And the slides you'll see are deliberately text-heavy, so Donna will receive a copy of these afterwards, and it's just so that you have all of the information in one place. But we will try and go through them as quickly as we can this evening. So, first of all, in terms of what we do, we basically manage, we own and manage the electricity network in Northern Ireland. So, we have a huge programme every year just making sure the network is developed and maintained so that every person in Northern Ireland has a safe and reliable electricity supply. We also connect customers to the network, so that's major commercial businesses, right down to individuals building their dream home or maybe even social housing, everything in between. We have been very busy over the past few years connecting renewables to the grid. Again, a very important part of what we do, and that's really helping to drive the carbon or low carbon agenda. We meter reading. This is something that the UK DNOs don't do, but it's something that we do. And again, it's an important part of our business. It's sometimes the only time that someone will ever interface with NI Networks. So for me, that customer experience should be a good one. And then you would have seen during the weekend, and we'll talk about it later in the presentation, power cuts in severe weather and difficult sort of weather conditions. It's really important that we get everybody back on supply as quickly as possible. Our customer minutes lost are the lowest today that they've been since privatisation, which is brilliant. But every customer counts, and every minute lost counts. So every person in our organisation feels the pressure to get everyone back on supply in what can often be very difficult weather conditions. We've 880,000 customers. That's every person in Northern Ireland is a customer of ours, whether or not they ever have to deal with us or not. And we spend about £1.2 billion through our regulatory period. It's right through from October 17 to March 2024. That's what we'll be spending in Northern Ireland to maintain and develop the network. So regardless of Brexit, regardless of Stormont, this is the type of expenditure that will be happening in your areas. I mentioned that everyone is a customer of ours, and we're very much a customer-focused business, or at least we try to be. So where we fall short, it's events like this allow us to connect with you, our customers, and to find out, to give you an access point into our organisation. So if we are not delivering to how you need us to, then this is the opportunity to speak to us. We're also helping grow communities. We're helping organisations very much flourish on the global stage and empowering businesses. Our connections teams, for example, will treat the commercial projects that they're assigned to deliver as importantly as it is for the organisation that owns it. So they'll do whatever they can to deliver that project to budget and on time and at best value. Just so that you're aware, in case you have any of your constituents ask you for repeat customers, we'll assign a key account manager to look after their basket of requirements, so their ongoing needs, so that one point in contact in Northern Ireland electricity to look after their product. And for major deliveries, we'll also have a project delivery engineer assigned to that work to make sure that the project flows as smoothly and easily as possible. So over the next few years, in the Dairy Moore design area, we're expecting it's $6.7 million or so, so it's probably closer to $7 million that we intend to spend in your area. On top of that, there is the connections activity. Now, I haven't put it up on this board because quite often it can be commercially sensitive, but there's quite a few million that has been spent over the past few years as well in that area, and we hope to continue to spend in that way.
Okay, so if we move on, just to think about what we would call being weather ready, preparation and resource. So we have an emergency plan within NE Networks each year, which we'd review. And it's really a living document which we would adhere to if there's any storm events which result in a lot of customers being off supply. So I'm not going to go through each of the points here. We'll talk later about our what we call critical care or medical customer care customers. These are customers who depend on electricity for life-saving equipment. So if we're in a major event, we will set up a number of local incident centres across Northern Ireland just to manage the response within that geographic area. Okay, and we do a lot of preparation, for that. It's certainly one of the biggest challenges we face as an organisation in terms of a response to a storm. The weather's obviously changing over this last number of years. We've had a lot more events than we've had previous to that, through climate change and so on. So within the organisation, it's always at the very top of our agenda. We carry out regular, refresher training for staff. We carry out different roles, during an event like this. But also make use of other organisations who, the resources from them, if they're not maybe involved, and a storm response to the same extent we are, the likes of the ESB in the south and also some of the other companies on the mainland. So if we think back to September of last year, 18th September, we had a major event which was Storm Ali. So this is just to give you some idea of the figures around that and how we actually prepare in the event of a storm. So we have an arrangement in place with the Met Office in terms of weather reports, because being prepared and being ready is extremely important. From the 18th to 1100 hours, we'd escalate it to what we call our duty incident team, which is really our central team, which is based in Craigavon. So that team was escalated from 6 in the morning. And really what they would do, they would have overall view of the organisation in terms of the damage that's been caused across the province and how best to utilise resources. We've mobilised all our local incident centres. Any planned work which was due to take place on the network was obviously cancelled, so we could best use the resources that we had to restore supplies. And then we brought in additional call handling resources and control engineers. Within the organisation, everybody has two roles, what we call your day-to-day role and your storm role. For some people, that may be the same role, the likes of engineers or maybe overhead lines team, but there may be other people who work in the likes of procurement, human resources, and we will bring them in for additional call handling. So it's very much a team effort when a large incident like this hits and everybody works hard to get customers back on supply. So an idea of the damage that was caused during Storm Ali interrupted supplies to over 100,000 customers. The worst affected areas were across County Antrim, Armagh and Down. And in terms of the network and the amount of damage, we had over 200 broken poles and over 1,000 individual faults on the network. So it certainly takes a lot of time just to organise that, organise the repairs, organise the resources. And in terms of Storm Ali, 95% of customers were restored within 24 hours and all customers back on within 3 days. So the resources that we have available, we have over 600 employees and local contractors who will be working in the field to carry out the physical repairs. And certainly, as an escalation takes place, the duty incident team will take a view of the resources and the worst damage areas, and we will move resources around you know, during the storm, just to get as many people back on as we can. Where an event runs into a few days, we will maximise the use of our people on the ground. If it's going to run on to the next day, we would tend to work from 0700 hours to 2300 hours. And if people need to be back in the next day, you know, let them get home, get some rest, and start again at 7 in the morning. Because obviously, it's a lot more effective and productive to be working during daylight hours than during the evening. But we would always have shoot instant teams and call agents working 24/7. So just a wee bit of information in terms of how we carry out the repairs. If you take the nature of the network, we would start with really the spine of it, which is the high voltage transmission lines at the highest voltages, and then we would restore, you know, power to the high voltage lines but at a lower voltage, just to get as many people back on supply as quickly as possible. And then from that we would focus on the low voltage lines, which would typically service smaller numbers of customers. So we realised during a major event, communication with customers is probably as important as actually carrying out the repairs. From a customer's point of view, we certainly appreciate, you know, that all customers really want to know is, you know, when the supply will be back on. So we try to focus as much as we can, not just on the fault restoration process, but in providing information to customers. Now, if we have 100,000 customers off supply, it can be difficult initially to provide estimated times, because we don't want to provide times which could be unrealistic. So in the early stages, it could be difficult just to provide estimated times. But certainly as we get into an event and where we split Northern Ireland into 12 geographic areas to match that location, or to manage that location, it should be easier to provide more up-to-date estimated restoration times as the event progresses. So that's just some of the information here in terms of the statistics of customers contacting our customer helpline number, reporting faults electronically through our website, and also checking an app, which we have, PowerCheck app, just to get information on fault restoration times. On social media, over this past few years, you know, there's been a huge increase on the number of tweets and so on received. So during an escalation, we've got a social media team, a dedicated team just to manage any contacts we receive that way. I think one of the most important things that we do during an escalation is to manage customers with specific needs. We have what we call a medical customer care register. It used to be called our critical care register. Now, we have about 9,000 customers on that register, and it's really for people who depend on electricity for life-saving equipment. So I would encourage, you know, everyone here, if you're aware of customers, you know, who have specific equipment at home, you know, I would encourage you to encourage them to contact us, or even if you want to do it on their behalf. And it means we can get them registered on this register. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to go out and provide generators, but what it does mean, it's an information service. So we will treat these customers with priority, both during a storm and also during normal day-to-day faults if their power happens to be off, either unplanned or planned. So we will make contact with these people and keep them up to date, really just to provide information which could be critical to their health needs. So as we've said, we've over 9,000 on it at the moment. And during an escalation, again, we'll have a team specifically set up for customers on our medical customer care register. Now, whilst, you know, during a normal situation, we don't provide generators, we do appreciate that during a storm, maybe where supplies are going to be off potentially 2 or 3 days, there will be a small number of instances where a situation is particularly critical that we would provide a generator if we can. So again, it's just something as councillors it's good to be aware of, and certainly encourage anyone you know to join the register. We also would have key stakeholders during a storm like the DfE, Utility Regulator and Consumer Council, that we would keep updated during the storm. One of the things we just want to mention, maybe to finish with, that you know, each year we would write to all elected representatives and would provide the representatives with what we call a councillor hotline number. So it's a number which you should have available. You know, we appreciate that maybe if power is off in your particular area, that you may be contacted by constituents. So certainly, you know, Hopefully you'll have the number, and feel free to contact us at any time on that number, which is a direct number, and to your control centre to get more up-to-date information.
Okay, and then just our last slide, and this is very much about the future of energy in Northern Ireland. Our network was designed back in the 50s and 60s, and it was designed with customers in that era in mind. Now, obviously, it's developed over the course of time, but you all know yourselves over the past few years, with the increase of renewables, electric vehicles, heat pumps, all of that becoming standard fixtures in our lives, and that's only going to set to get higher. And our electricity network simply won't be able to cope where it's currently being signed. So we're looking to redesign that at the moment, but we want to do that with our customers in mind, and it has the potential for great benefits for our customers. And this is set out here. And that's customers everything from, say, housing associations and housing executives, or it could be individual consumers in their own homes. We have a consultation that's out at the moment, and it's you'll find it at that web address. But it's something that I'd encourage you to have a look at and see whether it's of interest to either you or people in your area, because it's a really important project, and it would be great to have your voice in the middle of it. So that's all from our formal presentation. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Adele and David, for such an informative presentation. So we're going to take questions now. Councillor Harkey, please.
Hi, thanks, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Just, and I did raise it before about the renewables that come from the Cross Midland area. And there was a great interest in the renewables and renewable energy and that, but they had to stop because the network, the site wasn't fit to take what was producing. And like you're saying, it's the same system back from the 60s or so. Is there any plans to update that system that we've got of the best of renewables instead of, you know, saying to people, look, you can't do that? You know, promoting renewable and at the same time saying you can't do it. Just as there's any plans in place that we could take the best out of renewable.
Well, the consultation, thanks for your question, the consultation, councillors, is really to help us prepare for that next stage. So in terms of renewables, we had a really challenging target to meet for 2020, and we're actually well on our way to achieving that. And yes, there's issues with saturation in the network, but that's why it's important that different voices from different communities with different views and opinions are brought into this next phase, and together we should be able to shape the future of energy for all the customers in Northern Ireland.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks so much. Just more or less it's just to say thanks in relation to your staff that operate the electoral members hotline. I must say that any time I phoned your staff, they've been very helpful, and where resources have permitted, they have dealt with the issue and the frontline staff who have been out in all the weather. Your frontline services are the unsung heroes of your organisation. So all I can say is keep up the good work and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that feedback.
Thank you, Kerry. Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks very much for your presentation. I have noticed a really big improvement in the service that NIE provide in restoring power after, you know, storms and that type of thing. One of the issues now that people have brought to me and to my attention is the cost of a domestic supply. It seems to have increased dramatically over the last number of years. And it used to be that your people would have measured how much we need it or somebody need it, and they would have left off the cabling and said, whenever you've got that buried, give us a shout and we'll connect you in. Now, your contractors have to dig the connecting trench, and somebody has to come out and oversee the cable being laid. But it's the expense in it, and it seems to be monopolised now that you can't just go out and use your own contractors and whatever. And I would like somebody to explain why that changed so much. And then, street lighting. Sometimes DFI, if lights have been out for a long time, they'll say, look, this is a supply issue and NIE have to sort that. And I was just wondering, do you find that a common thing nowadays, or sometimes I think maybe DFI's, you know, just not getting on the ball quick enough, and they're blaming NIE. Yeah. Anna Lone is an area that still suffers sporadic problems. And I know that you have done a lot of research down there over the last couple of years, but, you know, we're told that it's been resolved, and then it seems to be in damp weather more than windy weather. If you get really, really damp period, you get these intermittent cuts and reduction in supply. And then the last thing I have for you is three-phase. Somebody trying to start a small business now, and they need three-phase. The cost is so enormous to get three-phase in. And I was just wondering, is there any grants or anything available towards small business setups, startups that need that? I'm thinking about people welding or making kitchen units in a rural area, because I notice now that the LAG, you know, the local action group that administers grants in rural areas, I've been talking to some people who were going to apply for that, and it wasn't the planning applications or whatever, it was the price of getting the tree phase in that put them off. But those are just a few issues. But thanks very much for massive improvements that have been done, and I noticed that ongoing investment, new poles and whatever. So thanks very much.
Thank you. I'll take what questions or give you what answers I can. Just first of all, in terms of the cost of your connection or the connections, the connection market is actually open to competition at the moment, so alternative providers can come in and help deliver the connection for customers. NIE Networks is a regulated business, so has to provide the least cost technically acceptable solution in every case. But safety and safety issues will always be top of our agenda. So we want to make sure that whether it's our staff, contractors or the public are kept safe. So we design our solutions around that. So as an organisation, we absolutely are giving you the best price that we can do it for, and we're continually trying to reduce the cost of our business to drive down those costs. But there are alternative providers out there, should that be something that you would be interested in. In terms of the street lighting, we have a good relationship with DFI. I suppose it's really on a case-by-case basis. You'll have my contact details now after this event, so if you ever run into any issues, by all means, contact me and we'll see what the issue is. And rather than you get stuck between two organisations, we'll try to resolve as soon as we can. In terms of the analogue issue, I think that's maybe something we'll take offline with you directly, if that's okay, we'll follow up. And in terms of the three phase, I mean, David, do you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, as Adele mentioned there, if we're providing a new connection or an increased supply, you know, we have to provide the least cost, technically acceptable solution. Now, a lot of this will depend on where the customer's making the application from, and also in relation to the capacity within the network. You know, so it just depends where they are and what's available. Now, you see in a lot of these issues, whether it's analog or whether it's specific cases, you know, as an organisation, we want to be as accessible as possible. You know, so you certainly have our details. We were set up, you know, within Northern Ireland. We have a number of local customer relation managers. So again, we want these people to be, you know, your point of contact. So if you have a query from a customer, you're not thinking we're a large organisation, how to get an answer that you can get straight in and specific. So in terms of analog, we mentioned at the start, as an organisation, we're measured on what we call customer minutes lost. It's the average number of time, or the total length of time an average customer is off supply across Northern Ireland. Now, that figure has come right down over this past number of years, and, you know, hopefully there's been significant improvement, but it doesn't mean there aren't areas where there are issues or there can be issues or maybe ongoing issues. So if there is a specific area, you know, just come in and talk to us about it. I'm sure we'll be aware of it, but it's just to try and give you, you know, a level of assurance about, you know, what we're doing here, and it's not a similar problem raising its head again. Okay.
Thank you, David. Councillor Walker.
Sure, thank you very much, and thank you for your presentation, and I'd like to also concur what Councillor Anderson said in relation to the elected representative's hotline. Very, very good, very quick responses when you go through to them and that. Just a couple of points I would like to raise. The first one is that I know in and around my hometown there lately, and last week particularly, you are doing a lot of recabling and that, so you are the property from that. But my concern is, well, yes, an excellent job. Last week, start of the week, for example, I received maybe 25 to 30 calls in relation to mainly elderly people who were very, very worried that last Thursday was predicted as one of the coldest days of the year. They'd received a letter from yourselves saying that the power could be out from 9 a.m. to 4:45 in relation to this work. Now, when I did phone up the hotline, and that I was given the assurance, no, there's generators and that in place, and that, and if it's going to be off for any time, it could only be 15 minutes. Maybe in future, when letters go out, that it states on it that there would be generators. It didn't state on the letters that was going out. It just stated the electricity would be interrupted between 9 a.m. And 4:45 p.m. Now, a lot of people thought it was going to be off for that length of time. You know, they wouldn't have heating. They wouldn't be able to cook or do anything or make tea or that. And they were very concerned. But I relayed the information back to them whenever your switchboard had got the information in relation to it. The other thing is electricity poles. Now, I've been trying to get a couple of electricity poles moved because they're basically a hazard for parking. And one particular pole up in and around the area where I live is basically taking up 4 or 5 car parking spaces, and that because of where it is situated. When I had contacted yourselves through Northern Electricity, you were doing a lot of work in the area at the time, new poles, that and didn't need replaced, but they said even if you were just to move it, that 6 foot, it would cost £12,000. Now, I find that hard to believe, that by moving a pole against a fence, you know, they allow for extra car parking spaces would cost that amount of money. And that, so that's my concerns in that. But particularly the letters, when they go out, if it was stated that there would be a generator in place, you know, providing electricity during the day when the work's going on.
Thank you. In terms of the electricity poles, I mean, maybe that's something that you could give me the details of separately after this, and I can look into it for you and understand the detail behind the response that you received. In terms of the elderly people, I actually think that story reflects the very important role our councillors have in communicating with mass numbers of customers and giving them the reassurance, you know, that they need. I suppose what's happened here is the letter is normally written about 10 days in advance of work happening to allow people to make alternative arrangements. And I suspect what's happened in that case is someone from David's team has understood that there's elderly people in the area and has tried to do something special in that set of circumstances. But I think it's really powerful that you're able to interact with those customers and give them the reassurance. So thank you for that.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hanna.
Thanks, Chair. A couple of issues, just whenever I have a chance. Meters.
Okay.
Are you doing an ongoing rollout of meters? Because at the moment I know of at least 2 charities in the Kilkeel Mourne area that, number one received a bill for £4,500 and another one received a bill for nearly £800, so they did. With old meters in, they believe they didn't use the power. It seems to be ongoing. One particular charity, they came out to look at the meter and they said the meter was that old. It would take at least a half a day, so the whole centre would have to close down. So they would. They just haven't done anything about it yet. You know, if there's a problem with it, it's very hard to know. It's difficult to get costs reduced once it's been charged. That's one issue. So it is. The other one is, in South Down, I know we're probably at the end of a power line, so are. There's the likes of Warren Point Harbour. They have to employ large generators because they just have not got enough power to run all the equipment and that type of thing.
And even in around Kilkeel, that's a problem. There's an issue, and I think Councillor Enright's not here tonight, but I'm sure if he had been here, he would have been shouting. South Down seems to have a lack of, you know, for industry in particular. Anybody with a massive demand for it seems to have to ask, have to go and get generators or something to tub it up. Are you planning to upgrade the amount of supply that is coming available so that industry can locate in these areas?
So, excuse me. In terms of the investment plans for that particular area, I'll need to ask back in the organisation and respond formally in writing to you on that. So I'll take that back to you. In terms of the meters, yes, we have a recertification programme that's underway at the moment, but it would be useful again to get the details of those two specific charities to understand what's happened and see if there's any way we can help.
We would go out and carry out checks, you know, at an individual premises, you know, if they're querying, you know, their consumption, that type of thing. So certainly, as Adele said, if you give us the details, we'll just make sure it's followed through.
Thank you, Councillor Quinn.
Thank you, Chair. Like the other councillors, I would like to thank you for that report and for the work that you are doing in improving the system. But as councillors, we receive phone calls regularly about problems with street lighting, problems with electricity of different natures. It's the poles. There's that many code numbers on poles. People don't know what number to give. So then it ends up councillors having to go out to find the right numbers themselves. Also, particularly in rural areas, is the amount of ivy that is growing on the poles. Is there any programme of keeping the poles sort of clear of ivy and simplifying the numbering system so that people can identify a pole to report a fault or an incident?
Yeah. Certainly, we appreciate, you know, when customers do maybe inform us of any issues that need to be addressed. You know, we have an ongoing programme, both of maintenance and also tree cutting, you know, across Northern Ireland. So, you know, that's proved to be really important in terms of response during storms, or even the effect that a storm can have, you know, on the number of customers of supply. So, in terms of, you know, the ivy, as I said, we have an ongoing programme, you know, to be clear on that. But if there are specific areas that are specific poles that we need to address, again, if you can just get us the details of that, I mean, we can provide our direct contact details, you know, phone number, email, which we can do. In terms of the pole numbers, we have a specific system that's updated, you know, on our various systems, so it's probably, it'll be difficult to change that, but I mean, if someone can get us even an approximate geographic area, you know, we can certainly respond to it as quickly as we can. So I suppose what I'm saying is, you know, we want to be accessible. If you have the details, you know, you can certainly ring the hotline number, or we can also give you our direct details, you know, myself and also the local customer relations manager. So you've got a point of contact that you can straight into us, give us the details of what needs done, and we'll deal with it. I mean, ideally, most of this work will be done proactively, you know, but there will be, you know, maybe elements, you know, we've got a different programs that are carried out every 3 and 5 years, but there may be some trees that grow, you know, in between, maybe, which need to be addressed. So, certainly, if you come back to us, we'll follow up on those.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, thank you, David and Zell, as well, for your presentation. And again, I noticed as well that out in the rural areas, certainly the lane observation and maintenance has been much more noticeable, the professionally done the last number of years, and quite regularly as well. So, thanks for that. I think it's paying off. Talking about the numbers on the poles, I'm only 5'5", so I think if they could drop them, at least not what I'd have decided for the DOA. But in serious note, could you actually maybe explain, is there assistance to, somewhere along the line for you know, outlying areas where there's no current supply for someone maybe building or renovating an old house that's, you know, for habitation? Could you just highlight that a bit, if it still exists? And the other one was that I've just noticed some areas are moving to LED, some of the street lighting. I would encourage it, actually. It seems quite, you know, first of all, it's energy saving, but it also looks much better as well. So we just encourage you to do that. And I don't know how you prioritize areas, but certainly I have a few that I would maybe like to be done as well, which are taking them on board. So just that's my lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, just in terms of the any assistance in the rural areas. Unfortunately, that's very much determined by the regulator, and that isn't in place at the moment that I'm aware of. The only thing I would say, the sooner someone is planning a project, the sooner they're speaking to our design engineers, the more chance that we have of being able to influence what the cost of that connection will look like. So if we can get into the project early, even before planning stage, even at concept stage, our designers will say, well, look, if you do this in a different way, it can drive down the cost, or we'll be able to do it quicker or whatever. So that's very much an open door. And we've kept in our organisations our local depots, and it's for that reason. It's for you to be able to make contact with those individuals and really, you know, work through the issues with them directly. In terms of the LED street lighting, yes, anything that we can do to reduce energy consumption is a good thing. So, again, it's part of the solutions that we look into. And about prioritising areas, everyone's got a different priority for their area. And, you know, we do have a business plan. We do have a delivery plan that's agreed with the regulator for the next number of years. But it just depends on what the needs are, what the requirements are, and everything's done very much on a case-by-case basis.
Are you looking at, you know, the old lighting systems? Are they ever looked at first? You know, lights that have been up, the ancient ones for 30 years or so, are those being done in priority as opposed to, you know, more modern type of lighting?
Well, if there's something specific, you can let me know about it. But generally, if there was a safety issue, that would be a priority for us. If you're in a heavy sort of urban area where there's a lot more customers,
then that's
going to have an impact. So there's lots of different facets that help drive the decision-making process.
Okay, so could you contact you on that from there? But there's some of the areas, can I contact you on?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, yep. Thanks very much for your help.
Thank you, Councillor Savage.
Yes, Stephen Zadell, thank you very much for your presentation tonight and fully supportive of the work you're trying to deliver on the ground. I'm a Newry City Councillor, and probably we've one of the biggest areas where we've had to deal with a lot of street lighting outages over the last 18 months. We appear to be getting on top of it. But there are issues, mainly, thankfully last year we had a serious issue in Raymond-Kelly Park where we had a breakage in the cable, and the team came out and got it sorted. A lot of elderly people living in that area for the month of November last year had no lighting, but it's been fixed now to an extent that we've ended up with 24 hour lights in the area. The big frustration we have is the length of time it takes from that fault is acknowledged and got until the official boots on the ground and getting it dealt with. There's one ongoing issue at the minute that I'd like you to look at, which is Sugar Island. I've got a few retailers on with me. There appears to be a break in the cable there, and there's four or five of the main street lights out. There would be fast food outlets there where people would gather on Saturday nights, etc. And with it being in darkness, it doesn't do CCTV or anything from a policing perspective to keep law and order on the ground. So, a bit matter of urgency, I'd like to see if we could get that one fixed. Plus, it will stop the traders in the area complaining to me as to what they're paying their rates for. So it's just really in trying to get those delay times from getting that reported and the fault been acknowledged to getting boots on the ground to get it done, because it can sometimes lead to 2 or 3 weeks before we have lighting in the areas. But on the one occasion where you did react fairly quickly, there was a generator not put in at the time, and thank you for the work you did there. It was very much appreciated for the pressure on the ground. Thank you.
Well, thank you. If you speak, give me the details of the Sugar Island job separately, we'll look into it straight away. Yep.
Okay. Councillor Highland.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks also for the presentation. The area that I represent in Lidlon is the old Warren Point Road in Newry, and there seems to be constantly a problem with the lights on that main road. At one stage, I counted last week 4 or 5 lights out in a row, and people have come to me and asked me to do something about it, but I don't seem to be getting any feedback or any acknowledgement of the problem. I would like you to try to take it seriously on the concern. There's far too many lights out at that particular junction, and it's too busy and too important a road to be ignored. Thank you.
Well, again, you know, if you give us the details, that we'll follow up on it. You know, and as I said earlier, you know, if we can, you know, give you, you know, straight access under the organisation, we can liaise with street lighting you know, just to see where the issue is sitting, whether it's an issue for them or whether it's something that we need to follow up on. But certainly we don't want, you know, any, you know, main areas or whether it's a, you know, a shopping area or maybe an area where old people live, you know, to be left in darkness, you know, for a, any period that's longer than it should be. So certainly, you know, if you can just get us those specific details, we'll follow up on them as quick as we can and try and keep on top of them, but if we're not able to give you an immediate answer in terms of when it'll be started.
Okay. I believe this is it. So on behalf of all the councillors here, I would like to thank you once again for your presentation, for coming and visiting us, and for answering all the questions, and we hope to see you in the future. Thank you very much,
everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.